So welcome back, everyone. It's wonderful to be back, and it's wonderful to start another year in Yirtzeh Hashem. This is how, what year to the living of the Kollel?
You know, I lost count.
You lost count. That's what happens when you're having a good time. It's a machlokes if you're allowed to get enjoyment from Torah.
Not this David Singer.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. Anyway, it should be a wonderful year of a lot of Torah learning. We should be able to learn clearly and coherently, and it should be interesting at the same time and significant. And if you enjoy it as well, then you'll paskin if you're allowed to enjoy Torah learning.
As long as you're not in Avelus.
Avelus doesn't prevent you from enjoyment. It prevents you from other things, but that's another story. To make a long story very short, we are in the month of Elul, and I wanted to speak this morning about something that we add to our davening, and that, of course, is the shofar blowing at the end of davening. On the first source of the page, you can see that the Shulchan Aruch begins by saying, at the beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Nohagim lakum ba'ashmoret lomar slichot v'tachanunim mirosh chodesh Elul va'eilach ad Yom Kippur. So you know that the Shulchan Aruch, Shiter of Yosef Karo, was that when I'm the rabbi in Tzfat, but we get up from Rosh Chodesh Elul until after Yom Kippur, and we say Slichos every day. I'm not going to talk about the Ashkenazic community's custom. Suffice it to say, we got off easy on this one. Comes along the Ramah, and for some reason, beyond my comprehension, which I'd like to talk about today, doesn't say, hey, we don't do that. We do something else. He starts off by saying we don't do that. But he says, not what do we do with regard to slichos. He says something else, Mr. Weiser. Here we go. Right here. Uminog b'nei Ashkenaz say no kain. This is not the minhag of the Ashkenazic community. So I would have expected here that the Ramah would have said, the minhag of the Ashkenazic communities, it starts the Saturday night before, unless there's not 4 days. That's not what he says. He says that later, but at this source sheet, he says, no, this is what we do. Mirosh Chodesh Ve'elach, from Rosh Chodesh Elul and onwards, matchilim litko achar tfilat hatfila shacharit. We start blowing the shofar after Shachris, the Yesh Mekomot, and there are places, Shetokim Gamken Arvit, that also blow at Ma'ariv.
Perhaps at another time, my Sephardi friends say what they say in Slichos is very simple, understandable, clear. And when we say, it's fast, it's mumbling, you don't know what you're saying, we don't know what you're saying, and it's nice you do it, but you're not getting a lot out of it.
I think Bruce gave a very good summary of the Slichos of the Ashkenazim. You're absolutely right, and I don't have a good answer for it. I think I found an answer for kinos, and I've done that for the last 8 years, of how to say kinos properly. I have not found an answer for the slichos of the Ashkenazim, but that's another time, a different lecture. Now here's my question on this Ramah. If you would have asked me, if the Shulchan Aruch says, get up from Rosh Chodesh Elul for slichos, the Ramah should have said, no, we don't, we start the Saturday night later. But he doesn't start with that. He starts with this idea of, no, the first thing we do from Rosh Chodesh Elul, chronologically, is we blow shofar. Then when we get to the Saturday night before Rosh Hashanah, as long as there's 4 days before, we say slichos. Why didn't he start with slichos after all? The subject matter of the Shulchan Aruch was slichos. So when the Ramah wants to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah sitting in Krakow looking at the Shulchan Aruch coming from Tzfat, I would have expected him to go ahead and say, hey, we don't do that. Like if the Ramah says you only eat glot meat, the Shulchan Aruch says only glot meat, the Ramah will say, we don't. Or in Colorary, when the Shulchan Aruch says we eat rice at the Seder, the Ramah says, we don't. Here, he doesn't do that. In other words, it doesn't flow. Why? So, in order to answer this question, we have to understand, why do we blow shofar? Why is it that the Ramah, sitting in Krakow in the 16th century, felt that our blowing of the shofar is in place of the slichos from Rosh Chodesh Elul? In order to establish that, let's see why we blow shofar. Yes, the Sephardim do blow shofar, and they also blow shofar during slichos. And they say, Hashem, Hashem, Kerachum, Vechanun, they blow slichos. That's right, they say the same thing every single day. That's another difference between them. In other words, they get used to it. Unlike the Ashkenazim, that from one day to another, we play around so much, we don't know what's flying. If we think Shabbos is a challenge, Friday night's Amida is different from Shabbos morning, which is different from Musaf, which is different from Mincha. By the Sephardim, they have no issue. The slichos are the same. By us Ashkenazim, we have to look with the first day, the second day, the third day, and then by the time you try to knock in a little significance to it, the day is over. You got to go to the next one. Anyway, I don't know why we're getting into slichos so much, but truth is, if the Ramah sees shofar blowing equals our Ashkenazic slichos, we have to understand why. So why do we blow shofar? Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is at the end of the 19th century. Anyone know his real name? Rav Baruch Epstein, Rav Yechiel, Michal, I believe, Epstein, not Rav Baruch Epstein. Rav Baruch Epstein was the author of the Torah Tmima, Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein. The Aruch HaShulchan comes along and says, Tanya bepirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, quoting a medrash, Barosh Chodesh Elul Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Alay Alay Ahara Sha'az Ala Lekabel Luchot Achronot. So on Rosh Chodesh Elul Moshe goes up to Har Sinai to get the second Luchos, comes down 40 days later, 40 days after Rosh Chodesh Elul turns out to be which date on the calendar?
Yom Kippur.
And therefore, this is a period where God forgave the Jewish people. It started with Moshe going up to the mountain, getting the second Luchos. The peak. Mission accomplished was when he came down on Yom Kippur. So we go through this every year. Ve'eviru shofar b'machaneh. And when Moshe went up to the mountain on Rosh Chodesh Elul, what did they do? They blew shofar. Oh, if they blew shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, we blow shofar on Moshe Chodesh Elul. And he goes into a whole razzle-dazzle as to why they blew shofar, so that they wouldn't make a mistake in the calendar. And he goes on to say, V'alki ha-shofar etzir d'Yisrael me'achet, v'chodesh Elul hu'chodesh ha-me'avtcheh l'tshuva. Because the shofar blowing on Rosh Chodesh Elul told the Jewish people, hey, don't make the mistake you made the first time when you miscalculated when Moshe was supposed to come down from the mountain. We're blowing the shofar, start counting down. Since it's a means to tshuva, to fix the first aveira of Chet HaEgel, therefore, shofar, tshuva, we do the same thing. So call them Yemei Hadin, right before we get into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we do exactly the same thing. Why? Hashofar misugal l'tshuva. Shofar is a means to tshuva. Why? Kedichtiv, as it says in the Pasuk, im yitaka shofar ba'ir, ve'ha'am lo yichradu. It's impossible that you blow the shofar and the people won't go get scared, say, hey! Something's about to happen. So we blow shofar, because this is the period of tshuva. It was then, it is now. So just to sum up the Aruch HaShulchan's opinion, many of the holidays that we celebrate during the year reenact what was. Seder night reenacts leaving Mitzrayim, going from servitude to freedom. Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur reenacts what the Jewish people did in the desert. And it flows, because what do we do after Yom Kippur? We continue reenacting what happened in the desert. What do? We build a sukkah, and we live in a sukkah just like they did in the desert. So basically, what are we doing at this time of the year? Since the Jewish people were contemplating, repenting for the sin of Chet HaEgel during this time, we do the same. We contemplate tshuva. They blew a shofar, we blew a shofar. However, to remind you to do tshuva, ends the Aruch HaShulchan, it's enough to blow when? In the morning, but the Rama says there are mekomot that also do it at Ma'ariv. So, if the reason is, hey, it's tshuva time, it's good enough to remind the person once a day, every day. You don't have to remind him twice a day. Yes.
Yeah. How did they know he was going up for 40 days? He's keeping count of 40 days. They didn't know how long Moshe was.
Moshe was told to go up for 40 days. He tells us that not in Parshat Ki Tisa when he goes up, but rather he says it later in Sefer Devarim when he reenacts the event. He says, "Vanochi ha'edi bar ba'im yom var ba'im laila lechem lo achalti ma'im lo shatiti," a whole razzle dazzle description, and therefore it was 40 days. Okay. So reason number one, we're reenacting the desert experience at this time. Yom Kippur is reenacting the tshuva of getting the second luchot. Sukkot then follows, reenacts what happened in the desert. We're all reenacting. If that would be the case, I would say very nice. We are playing the game of reenacting. We are playing the game of let's pretend we're in the desert. We're going through this experience. In other words, what God did to the Jewish people in the desert wasn't a one-time event. He put them through an experience that he wanted us to re-experience each and every year. So therefore, we re-experience getting a double portion of the man every Friday night. How? Mishnah lechem, Mishnah tuchalas. We reenact living like the Jews did in the desert by doing what once a year for 7 days, Sukkot, and we reenact their chazara b'tshuva by going through this period from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur. Okay, that's reason number one. Yeah.
Who has the minhag of blowing shofar at night?
We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get
Has
there.
Has anyone ever seen it?
I've seen it. We'll get there. Okay. I would like to suggest humbly reason number two. And reason number two doesn't have to do with what was in the desert, but rather has to do with what is today. In other words, any time in halacha, when we have a yontiv, a halacha, a commemoration, we can say, hey, it's either to reenact what was or what is. Like when you say Shir Shel Yom, you say Hayom Yom Rivi'i B'Shabbat. I hope everyone said that this morning. Today is Wednesday. Today is Wednesday. And we also add Shabo Ayu Levi'im Omrim B'Beit HaMikdash. Hey, you know what they used to do? In the Beit HaMikdash, when they brought the Korban Tamid Shel Boker, they used to, in Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, they used to say this Psalm of Tehillim. That's nice. So Shir Shel Yom is what was and what is. We spoke about fast days. We also said the same thing. It's either to commemorate the terrible tragedies of what was, and on the other hand, says the Rambam, it's a means to do tshuva, so it's not what was, but rather what is, what we're supposed to do today. So when I come to shofar blowing on every single day of Elul, I ask myself, is it what was, like the Aruch HaShulchan, or perhaps it what is? And I'd like to suggest the what is explanation. Is shofar blowing blowing music or a prayer? So if you would have asked me at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd say shofar blowing is music. You get a good musician who knows how to blow a trumpet. You say, hey, I got a good deal for you. Instead of a trumpet, you get a shofar. You don't have to breathe as much. Blow it out. God bless. If you look on the left side of the page, the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that says, Shiyesh levarech al tkiat shofar mishum da'asiyata ugmar mitzvata. Says the Rabbeinu Tam, that when you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you make a bracha, asher kidishanu b'mitzvot avitzivanu, litko ha-shofar, to blow the shofar. And he's not alone. The Yerayim says the same thing. The Sefer HaYerayim says, v'chim evar mevarech al tkiat shofar, v'shechiyanu. However, what is our minhag? We don't make this bracha. Look on the right side of the page. The Rambam, consistently in the Sefer HaMitzvot, when he counts what he believes are the 613 commandments, he says, commandment number kuf, Ayin, commandment number 170 is HaMitzvah is Teshitzivanu Lishmoa HaKol HaShofar B'Yom HaRishon B'Tishrei, not to blow, but to listen. Rambam HaKol Chayavim Lishmoa HaKol HaShofar, in the beginning of Hilchos Shofar. He goes on in Perek Gimel. What's the bracha therefore? Not Litkoa, but Lishmoa. In a responsum of the Rambam. Now we're going out of the codes of the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvot. The Rambam also wrote a book of responsum. In the responsum of the Rambam says that, Shezeh HaMitzvah Mechuyevet Einah HaTekiyah Ela Shmiyat HaTekiyah. It's not a mitzvah to blow, it's a mitzvah to hear. And the Rosh says that that's what the Rav Yo says, and that's what the Bahag says, and indeed the Shulchan Aruch Paskins on the bottom of this chart, Kodem Sheyitka Yivarech Lishmoa Kol Shofar. Now, if you would have said the mitzvah is to blow, like the Rabbeinu Tam and Yerayim, I would have said, okay, the mitzvah is to blow music on that day. And that's not foreign to us. Do we have another example of blowing something on a specific day? V'chitavol milchama ba'artzichem, aratzar atzarer etchem, utikha'atem, close. Bechatzrotzrot, says Bruce. So we have examples in halacha where at certain special times of the year you blew chatzrotzros. So there's a special day of the year, the beginning of the year, you blow the shofar. But we don't paskin that way. We paskin, it's not a mitzvah to blow. It's a mitzvah to hear. Of course, you can't, Murphy's Law, you can't hear without blowing. But the mitzvah is to hear. Now, if it's a mitzvah to hear, then it's not such a much a mitzvah to blow, but to somehow internalize what's happening. So what are we doing when we blow the shofar? When we blow the shofar and we're trying to hear, I would like to suggest that it's not blowing music, because the mitzvah is not tkiah. It's saying a prayer. What kind of prayer? What kind of tefillah is blowing the shofar? In my humble opinion, there's two kinds of tefillot. One tefillah is what you ask for. My mortgage is too high, give me more money. My daughter's not getting married, may give her a good shidduch. Or my son wants to get married too early, get that idea out of his head. I want my son to go to medical school and he wants to be a lo aleinu rachmanu litzlan, terrible, a rabbi. That's one kind of tefillah. God, I need you for A, B, C, D, we rattle off 13 blessings of petition every day except for Shabbos and Yontif. That's one kind of tefillah. Talking. What's another kind of tefillah? How do you tell your wife of 18 years, I love you? How do you sum up in words the love for your wife? Any words you're going to say are not going to suffice. Any words you're going to say are not going to suffice. Sometimes there's tefillot that are at the bottom of your heart that you just can't put into words. You can't articulate them. And there's a tefillah of God, I'm pouring out my heart to you. Do what's right for the Jewish people. Do what's right for my family and for me and for everyone I know. So one kind of tefillah is what we ask for with words, and the other one is, God, do what's right for the Jewish people. I would like to suggest that shofar blowing is a tefillah without words, namely, either a tefillah that from the bottom of your heart, I just can't articulate it, it's too deep, or I don't know what to ask for, I don't know what's right. Is it good that Bibi Netanyahu is the prime minister or not? Are the leftists right or the rightists right? I don't know. Are the ultra-religious right or the light-religious right? I don't know. Should you go to the army? Shouldn't you go to the army? I don't know. God, do what's right for the Jewish people. So we're not going to say the words. We're just going to have a relationship with you, cry out and say, God, we're here. Do what's right for the Jewish people. So we blow a shofar as a means of a different kind of prayer, and that's a prayer without words. Now, how do I know shofar blowing is a prayer? Where do I get off to say it? So my first proof is that the mitzvah is not to blow. That's not enough. What's my second proof? Let me ask you a question. Let's learn this halacha together. Everybody ready? Everyone says sitting down? Okay. Machzir shliach tzivur tefillah. On Rosh Hashanah, you have chazarat hashatz. Here again, the Sfardim, the Ashkenazim split. The Ashkenazim, the Sfardim have a regular chazarat hashatz. Nothing special. But the Ashkenazim, do they have piyutim from here till tomorrow? Totally different experience. Same thing on Yom Kippur. They say slichos after Chazarat Hashatz. If we say any slichos, it's within Chazarat Hashatz, like at Ne'ilah. There was a minhag to say it at Shachris, Musaf, and Mincha. I don't know how that was cut out of the Machzer. And we say it at Ma'ariv, but there's no Chazarat Hashatz as Ma'ariv. Make a long story short, says the Shulchan Aruch, when you do Chazarat Hashatz on Rosh Hashanah, Tokin will say there are brachot. You blow shofar in the middle of davening. What do you do? Lemalchiyot tashrat, lezichronot tashat, leshofarot tarat. So for malchiyot, you say tkiya shvarim trua tkiya. For zichronot, you do tkiya shvarim tkiya. And for shofarot tkiya, trua tkiya. Ve'achshav, and now, noagim lo tkon lemalchiyot tashrat shalosh pamim, zichronot tashat shalosh pamim, shofarot tarat shalosh pamim. Comes along the Ramah and says, that's not exactly what we do opposite. Yeshomim shetokin tashrat, lemalchiyot pamechad, v'chen lezichronot, v'chen leshofarot. Now, does everybody remember how the Tkiyat Shofar goes before Musaf? So God says, Yom Teruah Tiyeh Lachem. We don't know what a Teruah is. There's three possibilities, correct? What are they? Everything on Rosh Hashanah divides into three, like in the Israeli army. Very simple to remember. What's a Teruah? Three possibilities. One, it's either a Shvarim Teruah. Two, it's either a Shvarim. And three, anybody? Are you all looking at me? This is good. Let's do this again. It's either a Shvarim Trua, it's either a Shvarim alone, or it's a... thank God Harold saved you all. Trua alone. Three possibilities. We don't know which one is the true Trua. So what do? Before Musaf, we cover all possibilities. That's nice. We learn out that everything should be blown three times. So we do, and it has to have a Tkiya before and after. So this is what we do. We do Tkiya, Shvarim Trua, Tkiya, times 3 equals 12. Then we do tkiya, shvarim tkiya, times 3, another 9. Then we do tkiya, trua tkiya, times 3, equals another 9. 9 plus 9 plus 12 equals 30 kolos. That's what we do before Musaf. Comes along Musaf. Shulchan Aruch says, good enough to do tkiya, shvarim, trua once. And now we do it three times for malchiyot. Hey, wait a minute. Don't we have to cover all our bases? If we're only doing Shvar and Tura, that's one possibility out of three. So I asked the Ritva, Mekom makom yesh mi minagen lo yesh lachush. Lama nahagu litko at ashrat lemalchiyot v'tashat lezichonot v'tarat l'shofarot? Why is it good enough, according to the minhag, both of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, to just do one out of the three possibilities? After all, if there is a machlokes, what the Tura is, you should blow everything. By the way, today we do, but not three times. We do each one once. After Malchios, we do Tkiya, Shvarim, Truah, Tkiya. Then we do Tkiya, Shvarim, Tkiya, and then we do Tkiya, Truah, Tkiya. Same thing you have to show up for Odin Zichronot. Why don't you cover all bases? Well, turn the page. Says the Rif. I love these answers. The Rif says, Mashik atav arif kim bipnei Torah chatzibur ana makilim adavar. You know, we just made everyone nuts, Michigan, crazy before Musaf with all those tkiyos. During Chazarat Hashatz, we don't want people to, you know, go nuts. So bipnei Torah chatzibur, we cut it down. Why? Because minadin. It's probably true that either of the above are correct. Either the tkiya, the shvarim trua, the trua or the shvarim are the correct ones, and therefore mipnei torah chatzibur in on lasot tkiyot shaloka ra'uy v'shalon achul shesvei. That's what he says. Comes along the mitzvah and says, I don't understand. You don't want to bother the congregation. Doesn't the congregation want to fulfill the mitzvah? So he asks, shibipnei torah chatzibur in on lasot tkiyot shaloka ra'uy v'shalon achul shesveikot. So Tzkiya says, what do you mean? What is the Rif talking about? It's Rosh Hashanah. We have to fulfill a biblical commandment. We don't know what a Truah is. What do we say about biblical commandments where we don't know the Halacha? We're Machmir. So let's be Machmir. What do you mean, B'pnei Torah HaTzibur? That's okay. I can answer the Rif. That's not for now. I can answer the Ritva's questions on the Rif. But the Ritva gives a different answer. Anachon Bazer, the right side. First of all, we already did the mitzvah of Tkiyat Shofar before Musaf. Done. Ve'en tkiyot shal seder habrachot ba'ot lechovat mitzvat shofar. The tkiyot that we do during the Chazarat Hashatz is not for the mitzvah of shofar, but rather lechovat tfila b'tzivur, la'alot tfila b'tru'ah. We want to elevate our davening via the shofar. Kinyan bataniot. Whoever learned Maseches Tanis knows that Maseches Tanis doesn't deal with the fast days that we do today, namely the fast days every single year, but most of it deals with ad hoc fast days. When do you have an ad hoc fast day?
No rain.
Mm-hmm. Says Harold, when there's no rain. And there was a whole ceremony where they had a longer Chazarat Hashatz where they added 7 brachos, and after each one, they blew. They didn't blow for the mitzvah of shofar. There's no mitzvah of shofar on a fast day. Why did they blow? La'alot tfila bitruah, to elevate the davening via the shofar. So if you think about it, what is the Ritva saying? Before you daven musaf, that's the mitzvah to blow shofar. Got it. During musaf, what's the mitzvah? Well, what do we do with Musaf? We daven, correct? Do we daven? We daven. There's 2 kinds of davening on Rosh Hashanah, as I said earlier. One is with words. So we say, Malchios, Melech HaKol Ha'aretz, Mikadesh Yisrael, V'yom HaZikaron. And then we do the second kind of davening without words, saying, God, maybe we ask for everything that's wrong. So therefore, we're going to blow a shofar now to come before you and say, God, just do what's right for the Jewish people. If shofar blowing, however, wasn't a means of davening, but rather it was blowing a musical instrument, then let me ask you a very simple question. Would you do that in the middle of Chazarat Hashatz? If you would do that in the middle of Chazarat Hashatz, then let me ask you the following question. Let's say the Chazan is on Rosh Hashanah. He sees the people are bored because he just did a cantorial piece. So what does he do? He does a few cartwheels. He's jumping up and down with his cartwheels. Then he comes along, he eats a sandwich, and then he goes back to daven. What would you call that?
Shigaon,
yeah. And in halachic language, it's a hefsek. He just went ahead and interrupted his davening. Davening down the drain. Let me ask you a question. Night of Sukkos, you're standing there before God. At that moment, you leave shul, you go home, you eat a whole meal, you say Lashon Hara, you talk about your neighbor, you complain about your sukkah, then you come back to shul, stand in the same place, Zman Simchateinu Mikra Kodesh Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim. Would you call that a good davening? Of course not. What did you just do? You interrupt the davening. Night of Pesach, Vatita Lana, Yom Chag HaMatzos says, at that moment, go home, do the whole Seder. Come back after 4 cups of wine. Continue davening. What would you call that? A hefsek. Now how on Rosh Hashanah, the day of judgment, did we in the middle of davening, in the middle of davening on the day of judgment, take out a shofar and do a hefsek? Answer. It's not a hefsek. It's davening. A different kind of davening. Davening without words, but davening it is. Therefore, it combines itself within the davening. Yeah.
It elevates.
Because there's one kind of davening with words, and the other kind of davening is without words. So it combines together. It elevates a proper davening. Either, God, what we ask for, answer, and if we're asking for the wrong things, then do this. Therefore, you can do it. You can't pull this off on Sukkot. You can't pull this off on Pesach. Shavuos night. You can't go, Vatitanach Haga Shavuot, start learning Torah for an hour, then go back to daven. Everyone would say it's a hefsek.
But where's the kavana?
Kavana for what?
You're listening to shofar. You're hearing shofar.
We'll get to kavana. We're going to get to kavana. The ramification number one is if it's a tefillah, you can interrupt tefillah because it's not an interruption. It mamash combines in. Number two, asks the Tosfos the following question. The Gemara says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Lama tokinu b'rim k'shem yoshvim v'tokinu b'rim k'shem omdim, namely, why do we blow before Musaf and then during Musaf? Kedei la'arbev ha-satan, to mix up the satan. You know, at this time of the year, we mix up the satan a lot. It's a thing. It might be me, you're saying. To mix me up. So, if you would ask me, that you do with Larbeva Satan, I don't know Satan, I don't know what the story is. So Tom Tosfos and says, listen, I'm a very big Litvak. I'm not saying that Tosfos was a Litvak, but he's saying, I'm a Litvak, Tema. Harekav Armishum Bal Tosif. Very nice to mix up the Satan. You just did a mitzvah of Bal Tosif. What's Bal Tosif?
Adding on
to the mitzvah. After all, we just fulfilled the mitzvah before Musaf. Why do we continue to blow? We blow, our menag is to blow up to 100 kolos. How do we do that? So Tosfos answers in a very technical way. There's no problem to do the same mitzvah twice. Namely, if a kohen duchen at shachris, he fulfilled his mitzvah. Why is he duchen again at Musaf? Bal Tosif. Because he's doing the same mitzvah twice. You pick up the lulav, you shake it. You pick up the lulav again and you shake it. Don't we do that? We say the bracha on the lulav. We shake it in all directions. And then we say halal. Now let's say between the halal and the bracha, you put it down. Fine. Because you're doing the same mitzvah twice. What's Baal Tosif? Baal Tosif is not doing the same mitzvah twice, says Tosfos, but rather adding on to an existing mitzvah. Like instead of four tzitziot in your tzitzis, you put five. Instead of arba minim, you add a daisy.
And the Levim trust us so little that they wash us again a few minutes after the washing.
I think that's fair. Why would we trust the Kohen? And make a long story short, that's the answer of the Tosfos. I would like to suggest there is no problem because the Gemara in Brachos says, Safek yitpalel, safek lo yitpalel, inoch ozerom yitpalel. If you don't remember if you davened this morning, I don't know how that happens, but many people don't remember that they davened. If they ask him 5 minutes ago, what did you do 5 minutes ago? I davened. Yeah, what did you daven for? Whatever it said in the Siddur. What does it say in the Siddur? I don't know. To make a long story short, comes along the Gemara, and Rav Yochanan says, Ulavai sheyitpalel adam kol hayom kulo. You know what? Let a person daven all day. Have a relationship with God through davening all day. So I would like to suggest, why is it okay to blow shofar before Musaf and during Musaf? Because all you're doing is not adding on more kolos, more shofar blowings, but what are you doing? You're adding on more davening. And therefore, it's okay. Let's go a step further. What's the shape of the shofar? I would say, what do I care what the shape of the shofar? It's a kosher shofar, that's it. But the Gemara deals with it. Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Amar Rabbi Levi. Mitzvah Shel Rosh Hashanah V'Shel Yom HaKippurim B'Kfufin V'Shel Kol HaShanah B'Pshutin. If you have to blow shofar during the year, make the most straight shofar, it's fine. What do you do on Rosh Hashanah? The better shofar to use is?
Curved.
Why? Kama Dekayif Inshe Datei Tvei Ma'alei. The more you're bent over, the better it is. Explains Rashi. It's not to break your back. Kama demekayev inish betfilato. Panav kvushin la'aretz tveyadif mishum vahaya inai vilibi sham. Hilkach perosh shana delit fila. Ulahaskir akid yitzchak babanin kvufin. What does Rashi just say? Why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Berosh Hashanah. Delit fila. Rosh Hashanah, blowing of shofar, equals a prayer. As I said, a different kind of prayer. But a prayer it is. And therefore, just like in davening, you stand humbly before God. Not bent over physically, but bent over, namely humbly. I don't stand up there with my chin up tall, say, no one's like me. I'm the best. But rather, humbly you come before God and you say, I need you, God. So therefore, the shofar, which is a means to davening, should also be bent over, physically. Kfufin.
Are you saying it's a facilitator for davening? Or because if it's a facilitator to better davening...
No, it's not a facilitator for better davening. I'm saying it's a different kind of davening.
Because this, in the old country, they would give a very meaningful sermon. I think it was like Joseph, let's say, that would inspire, perhaps, people to daven...
Of course, it's beautiful.
But that is a
Hashem. I'm saying that's beautiful. Have it every Shabbos, every Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah, we have two kinds of davening. It's the day of judgment for the entire year. So we're going to cover all bases. We're going to daven with our words with big kavana. Then we're going to daven without words, because just in case we ask for the wrong things, we want to do it this way.
I'm saying here we don't have sermons in the middle of
What do you mean here we don't have sermons? Not in every shul doesn't have sermons. In certain shuls do. Yes, Mr. Weiser.
I would like to ask you about Rosh Hashanah. It may be Rosh Hashanah Rabbah.
Yeah.
It could be, we are a member, we could give it to. So how come you don't mention Rosh Hashanah?
How will Shana Rabbah became a good kvittel, namely it's the day of the Chatima, the day that we're really sealed, is a later Kabbalistic overtone. It's not written in the primary sources. Hoshana Rabbah in the Gemara is just going around the Bima seven times the last day of Sukkot. It's called Yom HaRava. Right, there's a minhag to blow shofar and wear a kittel. All that is Kabbalistic, I have to admit. I don't remember, or to be more precise, I don't fully understand how it became that. When it became that. It is just a minhag. It's just a minhag. You should know that real litvakin don't have any kittel. Real litvakin, stay away from all of this. If you tell them a good kittel, they'll throw you out and arrest you for the desecration of airspace for saying those words. It's a Kabbalistic thing.
No
doesn't hurt. It's fine. Yeah.
There's no bracha.
That's because it's a minhag. Okay. I just wanted to add in one more thing, and that is what was said before, kavana. So Arthur said, well, when I have kavana for shofar, it's to blow shofar? You ready, Paskin? No, it's not to blow, it's to hear. So I need kavana. Now, do you need kavana by mitzvahs?
Depends.
It depends. What kind of mitzvahs need kavana, what not? Look on the page. I quoted for you various mitzvahs that need kavana. Hakoret Eshma, all from the Rambam. V'lo kiven libo bepasuk rishon shu Shema Yisrael lo yitzay deicha vato. So during Shema, you have to have kavana for the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema during the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Next, davening. Kol tefillah shena bechavanah inat tefillah. If you don't have kavana during davening, it's not davening. V'im pelel b'lo chavanah chozer mitpelel bechavanah. If you didn't have kavana to daven, you go back and you daven again. Kavana for davening is to daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Next, akorat ha-megillah b'lo chavana lo yatza. If you lay the Megillah, Megillah Esther, without kavana, you didn't fulfill your obligation. Next, here comes our thing, ha-mitasek v'tkiyat shofar li'itlamed. If you're trying to learn how to blow shofar, namely to blow shofar in a proper way where you don't go, but rather you're actually going to blow it. It's actually pretty simple once you get it. You have to cover your mouth. The air only goes out of one place. If you're a trumpet blower, you know how to do it without covering your mouth. But for amateurs like me, you cover your mouth, it goes out of one place. Usually it comes out okay. So when you're doing it and you're practicing, and you happen to be practicing on Rosh Hashanah morning before davening, and you don't have kavana for the mitzvah of shofar, says the Rambam, lo yatza yedecho vato. And if I'm on the top floor blowing shofar at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you're waking up by it, you can't say, oh, fulfilled my obligation, don't have to go to shul today, just save 5 hours. Because he had no kavana and you didn't have kavana.
Yeah, but the kavana for it to be a tshuva as opposed to simply hearing it.
Kavana for the mitzvah of shofar, from our perspective. Now, here comes the thing. What is the common denominator here? Kriyat Shema, Tefillah, Megillah, and Shofar, what's the common denominator?
You have to hear what you say.
They are all...
Well, they're vocalized.
Tefillot. They are all davenings of sorts. Mm-hmm. Verbally said, yes. Shema, it's Kabbalat Ol Machut Shamayim, verbally said. Davening, absolutely a tefillah. That's a trick question. Davening is a tefillah. Next, Megillah reading. Megillah reading... Obviously, it's to read the Megillah, but as we know, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that why don't we say Hallel on Purim? One of the answers is because the Megillah reading is in place of Hallel. So Megillah is a tefillah. Next, Shofar blowing, as we've already established, probably is a tefillah. How come? Because look on the left side of the page. We have other mitzvos, such as achal matzah below kavanah. If you ate matzah on the Seder night and you had no kavanah for the mitzvah of matzah, kegon sha'anasuhu goyim. A bunch of non-Jews came in, stuffed the matzah down your throat against your will on the Seder night. Good, shmura matzah, stuffed down your throat. Now, why bandits would do this, I don't know. Kill you, I get. Murder you, I get. Beat you up, I get. I don't understand why they would stuff matzah in your mouth. But obviously the Rambam's trying to bring out an extreme example to explain, namely, if they forced you to do a mitzvah, no problem. You ate the matzah. If it's a physical mitzvah of eating matzah, you ate the matzah. Next. Mishiach bira miminim elu yatzah. You pick up the lulav, no kavana in the world, first day of Sukkot, pick them up. Done. Then he says, mitzvah kilchata, to pick them all up together, and to do na'anuim in all directions, but the mitzvah is just to pick up.
That's one of the
so reasons. If indeed it was just a mitzvah to blow, I would have said it doesn't need kavana. Because kavana is only for mitzvot that have to do with davening. But if you say shofar is a davening, it's a means of davening, then you need kavana for it. If not, it would have been in the category on the left side of all the mitzvot you don't need kavana for. So indeed, the answer you gave beforehand is depends. But the mitzvah of shofar is indeed a davening, and therefore you need kavana. Based on this whole razzle-dazzle shir, that mitzvah of shofar is davening, a different kind of davening, I would like to suggest the following. And that is that what do we do from Rosh Chodesh Elul? We don't blow shofar to reenact what was, but what is. And what is? We are adding davening to our davening. So comes the Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of the source sheet and says, and now let's read it again. How do we add davening? Because God likes when Jewish people add davening. How do we know that? Because he told Moshe Rabbeinu, enough. When Moshe Rabbeinu davened 500 something times to go into Eretz Yisrael, God said, enough. Al tosif daber layod davar hazeh. From here we learn, if God doesn't say so, he likes ribui tefillah. Do you have another example of that? Haftorah we read a few weeks ago, Seir Haftorah. Gam ki tirbu tefillah, ineni shomea. Namely, even if you add davening, I won't hear him. Namely, if it's not Erev Churban Beit HaMikdash, I will hear. So what do? We add davening. So on the day of davening Yom Kippur, what do we add? We literally had a davening. What's it called? Shofar. No, I don't think we blow shofar on Yom Kippur.
We do it at the
end. Ne'ila! We add a davening. Ribui tefila. So what are we doing from Rosh Chodesh Elul? We want to have a good year, so we're going to add davening. Comes to Shulchan Aruch and says, we add slichos. Now you can understand why the Ramah came along and said, no, we don't do that. We go up in a very, very hadragati. I'm looking for the word in English. Hadragati. We go step by step. First, we add a tefillah via shofar, because for me, Ramah, learning all these sources, shofar is a tefillah. So after davening is over, what do? We add a tefillah. We add more davening. And as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah, we literally add the slichos. So first we add a davening of shofar, and then we add the slichos. Now you can understand the Ramah's custom. If it would just be a means for tshuva, so let's remind the people it's the time of the year for tshuva, once a day, every day. But since it's ribui tefillah, so do it at Shachris and do it at Ma'ariv. Do we have a custom that we do at Shachris and at Ma'ariv? The David Hashem Ori. We add in a psalm to our davening. So if we're adding in a psalm, we add it in at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. That's ribui tefillah. We say Shema at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. So we're adding in more davening. What kind of a davening? A davening without words. So from Rosh Chodesh Elul, what we're basically doing is adding more davening. So we can daven more and hopefully have a wonderful good year b'schut our regular, consistent davening. And this other davening called shofar blowing.
Is that where he says, he said shofar by Ma'ariv, that's mm-hmm. where you're adding a davening shemari, that's where that came in also?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Our custom is to say L'Dovad Hashem Ori after the shofar blowing. It's because this is all Ribui Tefillah. God likes when the Jewish people daven a lot. And because of that, we're adding in davening for Rosh Chodesh Elul. So to sum up, why do we blow shofar for Rosh Chodesh Elul throughout Elul? Either to reenact what was in the desert, it's tshuva time, or to add more davening. Just like on Rosh Hashanah we add more davening, and we proved it from all these sources, so too, from Rosh Chodesh Elul, we add more davening. So at the end of the regular davening, we add an additional prayer. And we do it in a very calculated way. First we start with shofar blowing, and eventually we get to Slichos. Now you can understand the Ramah. He says, hey, B'nai Ashkenaz in O'Kane, our minhag is different from the Shulchan Aruch that jumps to Slichos. First, we add in the davening called shofar blowing. You see the three dots? What does he say next? After he talks about the shofar blowing, he talks about what? He doesn't talk about the David Hashem Ori. Guess what he talks about? Slichos. What comes next? Slichos. We add in from a certain time of the month as well. And indeed, Slichos is a ribui tefillah, because when do we say Slichos? Literally at a time when we usually don't daven. Namely, Ashmoret HaBoker, that's not davening time, we add in an additional prayer. So to sum up, shofar blowing, that many, many have thought is just trumpet blowing, if it would have been that way, we would have made a mitzvah, bracha of altkiyat shofar, or litkoa bashofar. The fact that we say lishmoa kol shofar means that it's a different kind of mitzvah, and I would like to suggest it's a mitzvah of davening. To end up, indeed, I believe this is mefurosh in the Gemara, and with this we conclude at the end of the page, Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis Torah, tkiel b'brachot shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom HaKippur ma'akvot. You have to daven on Rosh Hashanah and have tkiel with it. This is only, of course, if you daven in a minyan. If you don't daven in a minyan, you don't do both tkiyat shofar with the brachos. My taima, what's the reason? Amar Rava, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Imru lefana b'Rosh Hashanah malchiyot zichronot v'shofarot. Say before me, malchiyot zichronot and shofarot. And the Gemara says, why? And then it says, bameh, how? B'shofar. So what I think this Gemara is absolutely clear. One is ma'akiv the other, because indeed on Rosh Hashanah there's two kinds of davenings. One is with words and one is with without words. And you need them both. And I'll just end with the following thought. I said earlier that what we ask for is whatever we think is right. Shofar blowing is we're not asking, we're saying, God, do what's right for the Jewish people. This vort, quote unquote, comes from words in Ashrei. Ritzon Yireyav Yaseh, do what the ones that fear you ask for. Ve'et shavatam tishma v'yoshiyem. And also listen to their screaming. What is that supposed to? Scream, if screaming means davening, and I'm not saying it does, then why are you saying the same thing again? It's like saying, listen to a davening and listen to a davening. What are you, Johnny two times? You repeat yourself? So there's a beautiful vort, I don't know where it comes from, that says, Ritzon Yireyav Yaseh, do what the Jewish people ask for. And when they ask for the wrong things, and they get messed up, and they start screaming out to you, oh my gosh, why did I ask for this job? Why did I move to this community? Why did I invest my money in that skak? Ve'et shavatam yishma v'yoshiyem. Listen to their screaming and help them out then too. And at the end of Musaf, our custom is to say a piyut, beautiful piyut, called Hayom. Everyone has their nigunim for it. Yeah. Hayom ta'amtzeinu, Hayom tevarchenu, Hayom tegadleinu, etc. We say there Hayom tishma shavateinu, as well as Hayom tekabel berachamim uveratzon etfilateinu. Hayom tishma shavateinu means listen to our davening. Tekabel berachamim uveratzon etfilateinu, Rav Soloveitchik explained. Tekabel berachamim with mercy uveratzon, and if you want it, our davening, namely. Shemra shavateinu was give the Jewish people what they ask for. Tekabel berachamim uveratzon tefilateinu is when they ask for the wrong things, don't listen to them. Get them out of it. And Rav Soloveitchik, once talking very emotionally about the ecstasy of prayer, did say about these words that he prayed so hard to get a certain job in Vilna. And he didn't get it. And because of that, he had to go to America. He prayed to God, let me not go to that trefa place called America, that trefa Medina, and I can get a job here in Europe. And he said, thank God, God didn't listen to me, because if God would have listened to me, I'd probably be killed in the Holocaust. So during Rosh Hashanah, we have this combination. On the one hand, we ask for what we believe is right. And then after we do that, we take a step back, and say, okay, God, if we ask for the wrong things, we're blowing the shofar now to say, God, do what's right for the Jewish people. And my Rebbe Rav Amital, with this I conclude, once explained that at the first Slichos, when we say Lishmo el harina ve'el ha'tfila, that's what those words mean. Tfila means what we ask for. What's rina? Proving it from various psukim, he says, telling God, do what's right for the Jewish people. So we do both. We say what we believe humanly is correct and right to ask for. And on the other hand, we blow the shofar to say, okay, God, all the things that we can't articulate in words, plus the things that we ask for that are wrong, God, just do what's right for the Jewish people. Hopefully with this combination, we'll be able to have a wonderful, good year ahead. And hopefully with this combination, every single day, leading up to Rosh Hashanah, we're doing this on a small scale. We daven the regular davening, asking for what we believe is correct, and then at the end, we add that additional prayer to say, God, do what's right for the Jewish people. And Be'ezrat Hashem, God will, and we'll have a wonderful, good year.